I personally, unless someone complained about it, ended up with potato, but I'm not gonna job trying to get me to say I don't want it. They really, nobody really knows. One particular problem that I would have tried to get the person here to testify themselves, but they recently left the state, years maybe that. What happened was this particular person is on a multitude of registers, and they called me about a year ago and said, I don't really want you to do anything about this, but I'd really like you to know what happened. They were on a register and they got notified that they were being taken off their register, not replying to any of the original. Job was angry. They were supposedly notified by RCA that job was available. And she had most other people replied, why didn't you? And you know, she didn't get the letter. You must have gotten it because a lot of other people did. So this particular person called RCA and said, hey, how come I didn't get this at night grant? And the supervisor here in Fairbanks called RCA in anguish and said, how come we never got it through the wire? On this particular day, according to our information, about somewhere between 10 and 25 letters were sent out to different people that found they were available. Well, RCA in anguish said, on that particular day, there were no night letters sent out for this office. What this seems to me to be is that they wanted a particular person who may have been number 25 on the register, which is all these people didn't answer, so. And if people hadn't been notified, they were removed from the register, nobody would ever heard of them. Now, I know there is a big problem with the register that a lot of people just get on the register and then leave. And this is one reason why they're being removed, you don't apply to anything. But that is a kind of a typical problem when people are allegedly notified that there is something and they don't comply because they really weren't notified. Another problem that I looked for specifics. I thought I had a letter on it from an individual person, but I couldn't find it this morning. What happened was there was a position open here in Fairbanks, and the register was called for, and a number of people were interviewed. There were no specific requirements for the job. It was a job that was working in the bush, when maybe a gravel. People were interviewed for the job, and then about a month, 2 months later, no one was hired for the job, and another register was called for. When the person came up to interview for the second time, one of the people who was interviewed walked in because he was really looking for a job, and said, how come I wasn't hired? How come nobody was hired on this first interview? Well, there were some special requirements that you didn't meet. Have experience out in the bush. Well, this particular person didn't have experience out in the bush, but there were other people I know that did. One of them used to live out in the bush, live in Kosovo. Eventually, someone was hired for the position. I don't really know what special requirements, if any, there really were for the job. But this is an example of people interview for the job, and then none of the people who were on the original top five were hired. Why? I don't know. In fact, I'm reasonably certain the person who actually was hired for the position was not on the register when the original register was called. And there's one other problem I'd like to address, and that is a particular person out at the airport, I've been trying to get on the supervisor and firefighter guard to register for quite a period of time, and for some reason kept failing the test. What he knew is that after 3 months, he'd apply again and send his application out, as you know. And about 2 months later, not hearing anything, he called him out, what happened to my application? I didn't get your application. Came and talked to me, and I said, well, the thing to do is to send it with a little green slip attached. So he started doing that. And this, of course, is going on over a period of 10 years. And one particular time he said, hey, they said they lost, but they don't have it. They didn't really say they lost, but they said must have lost it because we don't have it. So what we'll do is take this previous application and update it for additional data point and get him on the list to take the exam. And I recommend personally, an awful lot of people, if they do send it down, you know, there's two ways. Now we have an office here in Fairbanks. They can take it and they log in. But if they mail it, you know, mail it with a green slip. That way you know what they got. It seems to be a problem. So many people are lying and so few people are not. You know, I've got no idea. You get a stack of 50 on your desk and maybe there's something new occasionally get lost. Of course, I don't hear about the thousands that don't. That's basically, those I feel are typical problems. And the last one, I don't think is the most important. In my mind, unless somebody complains, I don't really know how anybody can find out. Contact me and say, well, don't look into this, don't think about it, but this is a problem about the visitor neighbor. They hadn't called me. And nobody would have known about it. I don't believe that that person contacted them. I thought he just wanted to inform me that this was a problem.
Caution the committee on coming up with suggestions of tightening up the rules to such a point that we can't fill positions. Now, in the Fairbanks area, there's not generally a problem finding qualified applicants for jobs, but in the Bush communities, Unalakleet, Barrow, Kotzebue, Nome, Point Lay, we've got several communities throughout the northern region. And many times we can't fill the position from a register. And if you do talk about doing away with temporaries, you're talking about our primary source of getting people in the Bush communities. What we do is ask for a register, for instance, for a eligibility worker one in Unalakleet. We find a register with three or four or five names on it. We contact all individuals. They say, no, we're not really interested in the job. You find many applicants for state jobs, check the little box that says they're willing to work anywhere. That puts them on the all registers. Then when we talk about a job in Unalakleet or Barrow or Galena or any one of these other places, they couldn't care less and they don't mind telling you. And at that point, we find out that no, they're really only interested in Fairbanks or Anchorage, Juneau, or one of the metropolitan areas. So after we work the register and find no eligible candidates, no interested candidates, we request permission to hire a temporary. At that point, after working a register and showing that we have followed the rules, we may get permission to hire a temporary. person is qualified in this one case, began work as a temporary EW1 in Unilee. Worked very well in the position. The regional manager was pleased with the work the individual was doing. And as you know, the temporary employment expires after 6 months. During 6 months, the individual applied for the permanent position, put in the application, was scheduled for a test, tested, and failed the exam. Because they failed the exam, they can't get the job as a permanent basis. I think the exams are designed and do a good job, but they don't really address the unique problems we have in filling positions in the bush areas. The exam doesn't really tell if a person can handle the job or not, while the regional manager of these areas can tell. The individual is doing a good job as an eligibility worker, couldn't be hired because he couldn't pass, the individual couldn't pass the test. So I'm just suggesting, I don't know what the solution is, I'm just suggesting the committee be careful. I think the personnel rules are working, and to prevent abuses, I don't think the solution is to institute more rules, because you tighten it up to such a point we may never be able to get qualified applicants, qualified people to fill positions in bush communities. That's all I have. Are there any questions?
Gary, did find somebody that somebody could.
Yes. There was an individual in Unilee. This is just an example I've been giving, but it happens in other communities. And that's usually what they do, is find an individual in that community they feel could fill the position.
What I'd like to describe what the practice is in your region for recruiting.
For recruiting? I'm the only personnel person for health and social services in Fairbanks. What I do, I think that was one point that was brought up from another state employee, is when you're working in the Fairbanks area, you're classified on personnel assistant one according to how many numbers of people you deal with. I've only got a little over 200 employees, but they're spread out throughout the state. And in my region, I'm responsible for all personnel work. Yet in Juneau and Anchorage, they have much larger staffs. Their comparable people are personnel officer assistants, etc. And these people have the same basic responsibilities that I do, and yet they're paid a great deal more. I don't qualify as a personnel assistant too because I don't have enough people that I'm working with, even though I do the work that is classified higher. But as to your point, I just simply put in the request to Juneau to my personnel officer. I write a memo stating the work to register, give the dates, the facts, and figures, and request open recruitment to my personnel officer. Now, what he does, I'm sure, is go to the Department of Administration, contact the lady that's in charge of that, and begins open recruitment.
I guess maybe I'm not making it clear. You're describing the problem that you've got jobs scattered around rural areas, say in Fairbanks area, where it's not uncommon to get a registered time, nobody that's available for you. Doesn't the regional manager then tell all the program staff, we've got this problem that everybody needs to make an effort to locate people before sending their application to personnel division to get them registered?
Sure. But that
that's
doesn't...
That's what I was asking you to describe, that process.
Okay, let's take an instance like in Barrow. The regional manager has a position, he needs to fill it, and ask for a register and can't find anyone. Of course, he'll contact as many associates and people in Barrow that he can to get these people to submit applications.
Only after the fact? After he discovered there's nobody on the register?
Generally. That he keeps an open ear trying to find people at all times. In these small communities, you don't have that many people available.
You said it's about 200 people in the Northern Division that are out there. How many of them do you say are there?
Oh, I have no idea, but I think Health and Social Services has an excellent record for minorities and female employees.
Your job doesn't include people in the county?
I don't keep statistics.
I think this gets around the county thing, but the program manager makes the point of recruiting on an ongoing basis, being aware that there's this problem, and they'll tell their people, you know, whenever you're traveling the rural areas, push the department. You've got to, you know, a need for people and get them to apply and watch out for people that do good working for us and take application materials, and all the kind of things that come to mind when you think about it. Eventually, there's a long way to wait until the job's open and then say, oh my goodness, we have a national disaster, you've got to get the job done, and so they're on the list. And then you go scurrying around trying to find people who wind up in the fucking, you know, your job.
True. And then the other point that I brought up comes into play where the individual can't pass the exam. In Nome, correctional officers, the city of Nome used to have the correctional center there. And their correctional officers, in more than one case, that had worked as a correctional officer for the city, were unable to pass the state correctional officer one exam. And that's kind of unfortunate. That happens a lot more in the Bush communities than it ever happens in Fairbanks, or Juneau, or Anchorage. Passing these exams is not really a difficult thing to do in this area, because the test is designed more for, I think, metropolitan type of population. Kinds of experiences that we have, we're better able to pass those exams. While in the Bush communities, exams are more alien to them, and it's more difficult for them to pass, even though they can handle the job.
The law is there to get a job, the job related work, but it screens out in a way that he's talking about the racial basis, it's simply not the law, and it's a state.
Well, Neil, I have a degree in education, and this comes up in many of my courses for testing. Many of the tests are simply designed for a majority type population, and minorities are necessarily neglected. I don't know what the solution is. Again, that's a big problem. You have to design a test to reach all people, and that's not an easy thing to do. Or perhaps a special test for Bush areas, I don't know.
The solution simply is to give it a test. They're against the law.
If they can pass a written test, is it someone who is an
institute
or?
That would be a good possible solution. We find in some areas it's difficult to find someone to administer the test. Like at the Barrow Manpower Center, there's individuals there that can administer tests for us, but when they're out, it may take a length of time before we find someone to administer state exams. So if you talk about an oral exam, it's a good idea in theory, I like it, but it may be difficult to practice to find qualified people to conduct an oral exam. Expand the state service and hire some extra people.
And I think that's a very common problem, not just in health social services, but I think in all areas, patient gain is going to have
a problem. I was kind of surprised the human rights representative didn't address that problem about minorities not given every opportunity possible for passing exams, simply because the exams are not designed for them.
I'm sure we'll be considering that. I think that's one important issue that we have a lot of
this morning, and I do have some problems as a user of the register when trying to hire in permanent categories. registers I find very cumbersome, inasmuch as people are allowed to remain on the register even if they are holding a position equal to the one that you're recruiting on, or in some cases above in a higher classification as the position that you're recruiting from. In a recent case that I had with a clerk typist 3, I had to send out 49 telegrams to applicants that were on the register. From the 49, I had responses from 12. And of the 12, 5 of them told me that were already working as a clerk typist 3 that they wished to remain on the register. So consequently, I boiled it down to 8 people. And this processing took approximately 10 days of sending out the telegrams and waiting for the response. And as you can see, out of 49, just 12 responding, we got nothing at all from the other applicants. Now, how this can be corrected or these people totally removed from the register, I just don't know what the processing would be. But it does seem to me that if they're holding a equal classification or above, they should not be allowed to remain on the register. Some have said, well, this is allowed because they might not like the job that they're on and they want to make a switch. Well, to me, this isn't very equitable for the employer that is trying to recruit. And plus, I think it's damaging to the people that don't get the chance of moving up on the register, because we are locked in with appointing someone that we can reach in the top 5 classification. Another situation that I find is that the names are not removed from the register after they have been hired. I have hired in some classifications, and 2 months later or 3 months later, I'll call for a register, and a person that's been hired in my own department at that classification is still on the register. And you have to keep identifying with these same people over and over again. Plus, I find that, and again referring to the clerk typist 3 register, they're no longer performing the proficiency test. So therefore, you don't have a score on the applicant as to whether they can type or whether they can take shorthand. Now, they may document on the application that they can, and they type 50 words a minute. We have to perform our own proficiency test, and we find that maybe they're doing 30 or 35, and they're not meeting the requirements of a clerk typist 3 register that we're recruiting on. So, and plus checking into the background of an applicant applying to verify in some way that they have indeed performed the work that they performed. One particular case I had, the person had only worked as a medical technician, had never performed clerical duties. And she was qualified to be on a clerk typist 3 register, and at the time I was interviewing her, she was taking a typing course up at the university. So therefore, this too was a waste of her time and mine, I strongly felt. And I also feel that some type of a security check should be made on our people that are getting on state positions, which doesn't seem to occur. And working in unemployment insurance, of course, we handle money or forms of paperwork that deal with money. So therefore, if we have no security check background, normally we contact a former employer to try to establish that everything is okay, but I really feel that this should be a processing of the applications themselves. And I have heard many comments on filling positions or holding positions for friends. You hire them as temporaries and keep PCNs open in order to fill the position with your friends. And believe me, this is very upsetting to myself. I've worked for the agency for 16 and a half years. I've done much recruiting and much interviewing during this period of time. We do not hold PCNs open, at least in my own department. I don't know what happens in the others. When we hire on temporary, actually, I prefer not having to hire temporary. We had more position control numbers to cover all our positions that need to be filled. Would eliminate this. We could have them on seasonal factors. Now, my workload fluctuates quite a bit, so therefore there is justification for layoffs, but this could be handled through seasonal classifications. When I do hire on a temporary situation, you get the person trained, and then you find that you can't pick them up on the register. I have tried using registers to recruit my temporary people, but I have found that the people that are on the top of the registers, the ones that can be reached, are already employed, therefore are not willing to quit a job in order to take a temporary on the basis that they may not get on a permanent, because I do not have a permanent position at that time to assign to them. So I have found this to be an exercise in futility, because nothing comes of it. I end up hiring somebody that's very low on the register and hoping that as they put their time in or maybe reapply, they can raise themselves up enough so that I can get them in the top five. And it stands to reason that if you hire a temporary and then a permanent position comes open, naturally you're going to try and pick up that temporary because it's a trained body. Now again, I find in the temporary situation that I have to hire in, I lose a temporary during one of my high peak periods because the 9-month termination, as it is now, they've lowered it to a 6-month appointment. And I have to hire a brand new person to train them during a peak time of my work, which is very inequitable. So again, my main comment would be, I really would like to see the temporaries done away with. If an agency is recognized, do they have a fluctuation in the workload, assign the seasonal classifications, we'll hire in that and then do the layoff when your workload doesn't warrant having them on. When that person is hired, then they know they have a definite job to come back to as soon as the work activity starts picking up again. And of course, in the Fairbanks area, the communication situation is very, very bad. We always seem to be on the tail end of anything that's happening as far as procedure change, whether it be overall state or whether within our own agency. We always seem to receive the information after the fact. We should have done it yesterday. And believe me, when we have thousands of people coming to file for unemployment insurance and then you get all the procedure change or law changes that come in after and you have to immediately implement it, they're implemented in error because we're under a crash program, or they don't get implemented timely, and then of course we're in trouble when that occurs. And basically that's my major. Well, the seasonals, I have 19, I have 8 permanent seasonal classifications.
How many more do you think there are 8 people offering?
Well, for the overall year, I would say an additional 5 to 6 seasonal, because in the peak workload, I do hire that many temporaries. I've had as many as 7 temporaries on board with all of my position control numbers. I have a total of 19 permanent. Not respond to the inquiry that's sent out to them, telegram or the letter. I understand that, not to be truthful, I'm going to have to beg ignorance. I don't know exactly what the procedure is when the register gets back to the personnel. Yes, what we do is run through the register and we circle the area failure to respond. And I understand that when this occurs, then the name is to be taken off the register. First, a letter is sent. Sorry. I understand a letter is sent to that applicant indicating that he had been, the register was certified out with his name, and then inquiring whether he wishes to remain on the register. And if that applicant responds that yes, he does, the fact that he failed to respond to my telegram, he indicates he wants to remain.
One other question, I wonder if your situation is like the guy who testified just before you. How is your position classified? Your own position? Your own what?
My own position is an employment security specialist for.
But you do personal work for other departments?
Well, I do my own, yes. I work my own register and my supervisors assist in working the register.
Well, do you have a personnel specialist for your region? I mean, do you organize like that?
No, sir.
Assume that by the time that a certification can go out for 60 days, is it not? And by the time that the notations get back, you've probably certified the same name out to half a dozen times, perhaps the same to the same agency. You know, agencies, all departments, I'm not talking about labor any more than any other, take first things first. And one of the last things that you concern yourself with is getting the detail of the personnel system back. It's important that you get input in so the person gets paid and they get on the payroll, but then after the first party is taken care of, then you update the database and personnel. That's not really a criticism, because I think the most important thing is to get a person paid. It's got to be number one. Stuff gets into finance, cut off time, and then sometime after that it gets overdone. So that's just the way the system works. And that may, you know, we may perfectly well be in error too. I'm certain that we're being asked to take people off and missing some of them. I'm just not at all saying we don't. But I think a great number of them probably are multiple certifications coming out before the first certification gets fully processed and back.
I would say 2 or 3 months later, when you're calling for a register. And also, I had the understanding that if a person has been certified to you on 3 registers, and that person was not selected, that he would not be certified to you again. Now, I don't know whether I understood that or not, but I have had, as I said, through the years, I see some of the same lists, and normally you would show, indicate that you do not feel that the person is suitable for the particular type of work that you're hiring, or the classification you're hiring in. And they just seem to be certified over and over again, and they're generally in the top 5 classifications.
I think the important thing there, of course, is that the person actually is considered, evaluated, and rejected. And if that would happen 3 times, then you need not consider them again. But if they don't show once, then have they really been considered? Your response wouldn't show that you actually interviewed them, considered them for the job, rejected them because of some deficiency. So it's the reasons for which they were rejected as well as the rejection itself. But yes, you're perfectly right. If it happens 3 times, you actually consider them. They don't fit the kind of work you have, and 3 times, and you don't have to go through.
So they should not be certified to us.
Well, at least you don't have to worry about 20 or 30 times. I'm not sure that the system has been automated to the point where a list would be purged for one section of one department having considered a particular applicant 3 times, but as far as not considering them, if you actually did consider them 3 consecutive times, found them unfit for your work, then you did not be concerned with them before.
Well, if they're continually certified to the same agency, and you have to, so even though you don't interview them or contact them, you have to show not considered. So the not considered is counted amongst your top 5. So this is what I feel, that we're not being fair to the people that are lower on that register to even be considered for a position, because we never get to them. We have the top 5 criteria to deal with, and therefore it seems if it is noted clearly, maybe as to reasons why they're not considered, that they just wouldn't be certified out, because again, nobody from the bottom of the registers are moving up in any way. They're just locked in. And plus, I would like to add on the employment, ever since we went into the reclassification of employment security specialists, this too has created numerous problems, because I do not feel that the bulletin stresses strongly enough to your general public applying, or even employees that are already on as temporary, say, to really expound on their work experience and really expound on the duties they perform. Since they are graded according to the type of duties they perform, the type of public contact, and the level of responsibility that they held this job, they're just not getting graded because they're putting in, for instance, I had a registered nurse that filled in that she was a registered nurse. Well, you take for granted that a registered nurse does public contact work. They came back and said she did not meet the minimum qualifications. So then I go into the exercise with my own employees, along with outside people that I interview low on the list, and say, well, did you show this? Well, no, I only showed my most important jobs. And maybe they'd had other public contact work that they felt was too menial to put down on the application. So therefore, they're not getting graded and scored according to the true experience that they had.
But the root cause of that is that they hadn't told you.
Well, this is true, but are our bulletins really explicit enough to them? And telling them to do it in a resume form instead of instead of just the routine, since ours is a special classification at this particular time. I'm running into multiple problems in this area and actually doing counseling with applicants that I interview and telling them how to fill and what is really needed in order to possibly get a better scoring. So I think this becomes more cumbersome for the division of personnel because they're getting these additional asking for reconsideration. I'm sure you've received quite a few in the ESS classifications. And it's really been a burr as far as trying to deal with. I can't say I'm that pleased with all of it. But, No, I'm the unemployment insurance supervisor. I just manage the unemployment insurance part of it. We do have a regional manager.
Right. And your responsibility is region-wide,
just for the Fairbanks area.
Just for Fairbanks. How is it? Is there somebody above you in the Fairbanks throughout the region?
Right. Of course, our Fairbanks area, the region, are the bush areas, and Fairbanks is the only actual local office as far as unemployment insurance. The northern region contains Barrow, Kotzebue, Nome, and these are all bush areas, so technically it's a one-man office in the other areas. Fairbanks is the main.
Do those rural people report to you?
No, they report to a rural service supervisor who is under our regional manager. And the rural service supervisor is located in the Fairbanks office.
Okay. Then you're just in charge of Fairbanks. How many people in your operation?
At the present time, I have 21 employees. Well, I just rely on the register. Unless I'm hiring on a temporary, then the job service office will open a job order for me and then process with recruiting, unless I'm using a register trying to pick up a temporary.
How does it break out among your staff?
Oh, let's see, of the 21, about 20% are in the minority hire. And you're including women as minority?
No, I'm just thinking about racial.
Racial minorities, then about 20% are, let's see.
About four people.
Four, yeah, I guess. Trying to see. About four people.
So they don't ask you to do anything specific, including if you get enough people on the register.
Yes.
One of the things, told the story about her typist who couldn't type. Does that person automatically cross off the register when you find out?
Well, actually, in the situation that I had, I showed it as not selected, and I did document to the effect that she did not meet our proficiency test. But there again, where the Division of Personnel no longer performs proficiency, I really don't know, to be truthful, what their requirements are for a clerk typist 3. Within our own department, of course, we look for anyone that could type 45 or 50 words a minute. But for us to hold to someone typing 50 words a minute could create some problems, I would say. But say we have to go through the exercise.
Lucille, have you found in your seasonal positions that you have sufficient interest in the Fairbanks area to accommodate your seasonal needs, people that are willing to work in seasonal positions?
Yes, I believe I would, because I find with the temporaries that have, when their termination period expires, we have them available to bring them back on as a temporary, and they're more than willing to come on temporary. Mm-hmm. So I could see the same thing happening in the seasonal. Our seasonal situation would be the layoff in the summer, which is the most lucrative time to have your layoff. And yes, we find
have you found that for the most part, the people working in those seasonal positions understand how it operates and in effect want to work in that type of an environment and job schedule?
Yes. Seasonal I have on now understand fully and are agreeable.
Now, I know, being somewhat familiar with how things are operating, in terms of your cost model report, which for individuals on the commission who are not familiar with that, it's basically a productivity report based on volume. matched against the staffing requirement. Do you foresee any serious difficulties with seasonal employees matched against your productivity when you get into that decline period? Do you have enough advance notice to anticipate so that you can gear up and get your layoffs going to pinpoint it? You're not going to be running into over expenditures?
I feel that it can be controlled and identified with. We're learning more and more how to work within the concept of the cost model report. And in the past, with the temporary situation, just by means of attrition, we have not had any problem as far as actually having to lay off even temporaries. But I do feel within a month or month and a half advance notice, we could identify that a person would have to take a layoff.
Okay. So you don't individually then foresee any problems with the two-week notification, or know that you're going into a downslide where you'd overrun in cost because of 2 weeks notice or something of that nature? You would have sufficient indicators to keep that on schedule from a financial standpoint?
I believe we would. We might run into a little problem. This year is a very unusual year after the pipeline, and we seem to be fluctuating so much as far as supporting all of the staff. And the understanding, as it's been in the past with the seasonals, we've mostly identified with a layoff in the summer. And if we had all seasonal classification, it would have to be an understanding that there could be a two-week layoff maybe in December. There could be a one-month layoff in January. Now, this could possibly pose a little problem, but as I say, with the temporary situation, we just haven't experienced a problem with it at all. But I think that, upon hiring, I'm certain that it would be acceptable by quite a few people in the area.
Okay, thank you.
Bob Moran, Baltimore.
Senator Ray is absent. Neil Thomas.
Here.
We also have members of the commission who are not present, members of the subcommittee. Ken Spring.
Our regular members of the committee, and of course the other one.
this is the committee for the Classification, Certification, and Recruitment Committee. And the topic for this morning will cover a wide range, the register, the hiring policies of the state, perhaps, or, and the classification of employees of the state. The people who are here to testify this morning may begin to come forward, whoever wants to start first. The way we are going to do it is if you state your name, your occupation, or which department you are connected with, that would be good. And you can make your testimony, you will be asking questions, and the members will ask you questions.
First, I'd like to say that my testimony here is really addressed inequities in the hiring system. And I personally feel this is really a mismanagement within the departments rather than the state policies of the governor or the division personnel in the department administration. Again, I'll say this is going to have to be from actually my limited knowledge of personnel matters. I have read, of course, the governor's policy, and I have read some of the operating procedures. I feel actually they are very good, only they're not followed. And the specific inequities that I would like to point out to you are the failure to provide equal pay or equal job opportunities, the failure of supervisors to be responsive to the rules of the division. Failure of supervisors to properly call for registers when filling job positions, a failure to follow the personnel rules in the preparation of the PO2 forms and job class specifications, a failure to follow good employment practices, to bypass rules, and to misuse temporary hires. In general, I'm going to follow my own experiences. I'll try and point out some others. First, I would like to read some guidelines were prepared and signed by the governor. And these are simply one. Similarly qualified individuals who perform substantially the same work under comparable conditions are paid on an equal basis. Positions which perform comparable work are allocated to the same or similar classes. Classes of positions which perform at comparable work are allocated to similar pay grades or levels. And number four, nor artificial barriers to job advancement exist, and career pathways will be open within the job categories. Well, I think those are very good guidelines if they were followed. Well, starting here by saying that actually this particular complaint resulted when Wyatt Gilbert, Milton Wilsey, and I documented a four-range difference between personnel within the Division of Geological Surveys, which were doing essentially the same job. Always, of course, there's some variations naturally given by personnel. These were also being performed under the same conditions. But there was a classification of three other members of the staff as petroleum geologists, which raised their pay grade to a pay grade 24, while the mining geologist remained in the classification pay grade 20. The assignments are very similar. We all work on matters related to petroleum, and we're called petroleum geologists, so we work on matters related to mining and hard rock material. So there's complete overlapping. job responsibilities, and I definitely felt it. And other members documented that we really were doing essentially the same work. Secondly, there's been the failure of supervisory referrals to follow the personnel rules. Well, because I objected to this, Jack Roderick, who was then commissioner, said he would conduct a survey of similar positions in private industry. Now, he did this. When the results came out, they weren't what he expected, so there was a lot of jockeying around. And of course, there was a good deal of time delay trying to justify what the facts against what they were going to have to say. Because actually, during the course of the time here, there had been a lot of objections to upgrading these jobs and figuring 24. Well, the final really outcome that I was informed was that the survey should have been done by the division of personnel within the department administration. Therefore, the work that he had done had to be disregarded, so we'd go to the next step. Well, the next step in this case then was to go back to a desk audit. And this was done by the division of personnel, Ed Steyer. Now, we were never able to find out what his recommendations were, even using the Alaska Public Employees Association. We do know the next low step was to create a new division known as the mine manager with pay grade 22 and transfer this work from the department or from the division of geology and geophysics to a new department called the Division of Mineral Energy Management. Now, I did complete the application for the position. I was given a very high grade for it after all I've been doing it for several years. What I was never had the opportunity to really apply for the position. I don't know how it was filled. It was filled, and I certainly was never notified. I don't think the register was properly used in this case. We're trying to pursue this, see if I can find out how it was filled, how the incumbent was appointed. But certainly I think an artificial barrier here was created without advancing by taking work that was being done, put it in another division, and close the area of advancement. I'd also like to point out that, to my knowledge, the all standard operating procedures that are set up by the personnel, the updating of PO4s, hasn't really been done. I complained about it, and I had some lip service, but it actually remains that the job description has not been revised since 9171. I really feel strongly that in the department, the guidelines set down by administration were never followed. Now, there's another practice that goes on, and I've seen it within the department, and I know it goes on in other departments. And this is the use of temporary personnel. That a supervisor has a buddy or person that he wants, and they may not be qualified for the position. So what they do, they point him to a temporary, and this is really against the rule because it shouldn't call for a regular. But they do appoint them, let them stay as a person, as a temporary until such time as they can qualify, then they call for a register, and that way they get the individual that they were seeking. And I think one of these cases in there in regard to pay grade 21, this one occurred, I want to bring this outside, it's not only within the Department of Natural Resources, but within the Department of Commerce. A pay grade position 21 was available under the division, or it's under the commission regulating tariffs and in the surface section. That person, very well qualified, been with Alaska Railroad, thoroughly familiar with all surface transportation, all tariffs, apparently was passed over for a person who was never certified in the position, appointed as a temporary. Probably remain there, so she can't qualify. And there's another one that I know is going on, Okay, this is a misuse of personnel evaluation forms. These are often being used, I know they're being used, is to downrate a person when they want to appoint somebody else to that position. I haven't had that trouble personally yet. And along with the same thing is to, that I've noticed, that they want some particular person, they'll put them on temporary again, and say, well, he won't stay here unless we upgrade the position. So we'll go to personnel, and they'll upgrade the position, and he'll get the job. This is essentially just my testimony. Any questions?
You, several points in your presentation, alluded to the fact that some of the people who hire temporary in your organization are not qualified. Do you mean by that that they do not have the minimum qualifications in terms of education, experience, and so forth, or do you mean that they don't stand on a register and consequently they're not qualified to hire them?
Both.
Both?
Well, I mean, if you follow the personnel rules, the register has been called for. I'll also say that where I've called for a register, as I have when I'm an employee, it's always going to be quite rapidly. Personnel has selected people who are qualified for jobs.
But your personal knowledge, there are people working as temporaries who don't have the minimum qualifications to hold that position.
But of course, you know, if you work for a year, you know what.
But the initial hire, they wouldn't
initial
qualify.
Hire.
That of course, is contrary to
rule. Well, I think the personnel rules, let's start out with, I think the personnel rules are good. And the standing operating procedures are excellent. I think not a big problem. People essentially doing the same type of work, and we have a disparity between a pay grade 20 for some and a pay grade 24 for others.
Essentially the same, but probably the individuals are not equally experienced in the field, probably. Would that be the reason why they are in different pay ranges?
No, this came about entirely in a manner. It really didn't originate within our own division. That was that the Department of Mineral Energy Management, the manager there, he wanted to appoint a person to pay grade 24.
So it's just a matter of personal choice?
Yeah, just a matter of personal choice. He did it, and the fallout in our division came from there. And within the department it happened, but it didn't happen within the division. It was just a fallout from another division. Taking the classification, just automatically raising.
So it's up to the supervisor's discretion then that a person may get the merit increases and another person is left behind, although they may have the same kind of a job.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. It's very discretionary. Chronologically, I didn't run these dates down, but I can give you an approximation on this.
I guess I'm not concerned with dates as to what happened in different positions.
Well, the position of mining geologist was in existence for a long time. The division was changed from the division of mines to a division of geological and geophysics. When that was done, they added three positions as a petroleum geologist at pay grade 22. This was an active position. Then later, within the department, a division of mineral and energy management was created. Essentially, this is a duplication of work that's being done in the Division of Geological Survey. Out there, they gave a couple of people while they're organizing the division pay grade 24. And that went through and they classified it.
What was that called? What were those positions called? The 24?
24 is then called petroleum geologist.
What happened 22 before that?
Well, these were new positions in another division.
So you got some people called petroleum geologist at 22 and some at 24.
Is that right? So then the fallout was that the 22s were upgraded to 24. So.
And what was mine manager position?
Mine manager simply the work that I was doing. It's a newly created position.
Madam Chairman, I think this could take a long time to unravel all my complete debt here, but one thing it points to that we've seen several times around state government is the tendency to create, as a program develops and matures, there seems to be a tendency to create a different classification of positions to accommodate the particular need of that program. And without anybody, nobody really watches it very closely, but what you result in sometimes is a lot of different classifications. They're all really very similar. There are different pay grades, and then somebody's got to go back to personnel and point that out so that they can come in and sort it all out later. This may explain, at least I think it does for me to a degree, why we have such a large number of different classifications of positions in state government, perhaps more than is absolutely necessary. And it's really up to program managers, I think, as we pointed out, that call personnel and say, hey, really, do we need all these different classifications? Let's sort it out, because maybe what we need is simply one position called geologist and not two or three other different types of positions.
Yes, Mr. Conwell, you had indicated that you had applied for the position of mining manager and apparently had scored quite high on that application, but you were not notified in the normal course of working a register. Could you elaborate on that point a little bit further, please?
Explain it.
Okay, you know that the job has been filled?
Oh, yes, I know the job's been filled, yes. And I didn't know the job had been filled until he called me up and asked if I could provide him with some assistance.
Okay, the job is in Anchorage, did I understand that correctly?
The job is in Anchorage, yes.
And you had indicated on your application a willingness to move to Anchorage?
Yes, I had.
And they did not contact you at all in working
there? No contact was made whatsoever.
Do you have any kind of an idea of how many individuals were on that register?
No, I don't.
But you feel certain that you would have ranked quite highly among the members?
Well, it's a job I've been doing for several years. I should rank very high on it.
Thank you.
Well, actually, I will add one more. I was told that they didn't have any qualified people on the register, so they had to offer temporary hire. But I don't know that this is true, so that's what you're saying. But the fact that I wasn't qualified.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Conwell.
First one of two.
out whenever there are any concerns to raise about a position or about a health benefit or other terms of employment by an employee quite consistently. The answers have to come from somewhere else. As long as it's telephone and letter writing, probably communication with that employee, leave with your bank's employees with the perspective that their needs are not being handled effectively. It is true that there is now one person. Yeah, we can't. there are others in other departments who have the same problem, where their classification is established a long, long time ago. And where it is now the reluctance to change that position in spite of the position that has much broader responsibilities is very great. Agencies don't always have as much control. In fact, they have more control over creating the classification of new positions than they do of reclassification of older positions, which even might get them people into those positions. Typing errors they never made before. They couldn't even answer the telephone correctly.
much the nation came, the nation's businesses here, the industry that government came to a standstill. That's true. That is a fantasy. But the fact is, if you examine the support that our clerical people give to our programs, they are consistently undervalued. And beyond that, there is frequently little effort made at all by program managers or supervisors to include any kind of range classification so that or career ladder so that a person who's been in the department a long time and had an effective capable job as a clerical can't move on up into entry-level positions in professional life, substituting experience for some of the educational background required for so-called professional positions. I want to speak to the use of temporaries. I would caution out the use of temporaries altogether. I have seen, for instance, temporaries used by responsible program managers to get affirmative action plans accomplished, to get in people who don't meet the artificial qualifications established for a position, but who can perform to a position where they can participate in the department and get experience in the department. Precaution concerning the use of temporaries. I think temporaries can be used constructively. Like any system, the commitment for equal opportunity and for responsible use of it isn't there. It's going to be used. I think my final point is a pet peeve of mine, which again I would hope that both the state government and the union responsible is the problems exacerbated by the negotiation of across the board percentage increases. Because in effect, the gap is between the low, which are traditionally filled by women and men in minorities, and the high. The fact is, even in range 20, the recent increase that came in for cost of living really doesn't change my lifestyle much. And it costs the taxpayers an enormous amount of money compared to the 5% increase which came across from the clerical. And yet the difference is, again, between the low and the high is substantial. State, in effect, could save itself some money by doing graduating increases, putting the cost of living benefits where the cost of living is benefits are needed. It's essentially a soapbox.
Any questions? Are there any questions for that? Thank you very much.
Seems that the
positions have been filled by temporaries in some cases. At one point on the telephone, I was advised by the person doing the hiring that he had tried to contact me by telephone, and that I apparently was not in when he called, and he filled a position with someone else. I thought, you know, at least he could have sent me a letter or something which would have been a little bit more certain to reach me than just trying to call on the telephone. But these are very personal kinds of things and don't address specifically to one job which I'm seeking. But I did feel as if I should make some comment about it. I think, as the first gentleman who spoke said, that the state personnel system and most of the trappings that go with it, it's a pretty good organization. It's pretty well thought out, but oftentimes following some of the rules is where the problem lies. It seems to be an oversight by certain officials subscribing specifically to the policies. I run into several cases where there seems to be a great many temporaries hired instead of full-time people. And because my phone bill was mentioned a few moments ago, perhaps it would be good to do away with the temporaries and have just permanent positions. I think that there is, you know, from my limited observation, I think some certain issues of temporary positions. Online, I think that there are some people who get in as temporaries who are perhaps not qualified or not registered or something, and eventually they can get into the full-time permanent position because of the advantage given them by being hired as temporaries. Again, this is very specific and personal, but about it. I was contacted last week about one position asking if I was still interested in being on that list. And to my knowledge, that's the only, you know, if I may have been contacted earlier in the summer about one other one, I possibly was, but there's no more than two out of the 15.
Okay, thank something that's so widespread, it's like going 3 miles an hour over the speed limit. Everybody does it, even though it's really kind of wrong. Everybody does it, and there's nothing wrong with it because everybody does it. Another typical problem is people calling for the register, and the person that they want, maybe a temporary, maybe just someone they know, is number 7 or number 8 on the register. And everybody that they've contacted and said they want the job, and they contact people personally and kind of downgrade the job, talk down to it.